Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you about the discipline of the mind. In her biography of the 17th century French archbishop, François de Fénelon, Catherine Day Little writes, simple and orderly living was the secret of his power and efficiency, for his austerity was in reality a purposeful and rational expenditure rather than a self-conscious mortification. It represented the beauty of an orderly and clean mind that naturally turned away from gaudy gewgaws and the disorder of the unnecessary. I love that last sentence, the beauty of an orderly and clean mind that naturally turned away from gaudy gewgaws and the disorder of the unnecessary. Is there any disorder in your life? Is there disorder in your kitchen, your garage, the trunk of your car? Possibly one of the reasons is because there's so many unnecessary things there. You can get rid of the disorder by getting rid of the unnecessary. In Peter's first epistle to the exiles, he says this, and one of the modern translations has it, that you must be mentally stripped for action, perfectly self-controlled. Fix your hopes on the grace which is to be yours when Jesus Christ is revealed. Are you mentally stripped for action? Remember that Peter was writing to exiles. They were scattered. They were away from their homeland. They were suffering hot fires of trial in order to prove the quality of their faith. And Peter says, therefore, you must be mentally stripped for action. In other words, get rid of unnecessary clutter. Get rid of the distractions. And fix your hopes on the gift of grace which is to be yours when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not let your characters be shaped any longer by the desires you cherished in the days of your ignorance. The one who called you is holy. Like him, be holy in all your behavior, because Scripture says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Do not let your character be shaped by the desires you cherished in the days of your ignorance. It's so easy, even for us who call ourselves disciples of Jesus, to allow our characters to be shaped by desires that really have nothing to do with our new purpose in life, which is to move into the kingdom of God, to become holy. We're still allowing our characters to be shaped by those old worldly and holy temporal desires. Get rid of them. They're not necessary. Start loving the Lord with your mind. The Bible says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy heart and with all thy mind. We talked in our last session about the offering of the body. Make a living sacrifice of this body. Now let's think about offering your mind as an act of worship. If the offering of the body is an act of worship offered by mind and heart, then surely we can offer our minds as an act of worship as well. First of all, meditate on God. Hold your mind to Him. That seems to me to be a good place to begin to start disciplining your mind. How long can you sit quietly with your hands at rest? No noise, no background music, no distractions. Sit in a chair, both feet on the floor, hands at rest in your lap, palms up. Close your eyes. Can you meditate on God? Can you hold your mind to Him? I can't do it without help. Each time I try it, I find my mind going instantly in about 3 or 4 different directions. So when I try to quiet myself before God and hold myself in His presence, I have to ask at the very beginning, Lord, make haste to help me. I am helpless to do this by myself. But I really do find that God does help me, and I believe He'll help you. And secondly, there's a rule in Romans 12, the third verse, that says, think your way to a sober estimate. Think your way to a sober estimate of what you are. Can you think your way to a sober estimate of anything? Well, maybe you need the discipline of the mind. And third, read books. I can't emphasize strongly enough the necessity of reading good books. And very often, it's the old books that are going to give you the strongest meat. There's so much that pampers to our desire for junk food, for the quick fix, for something that I can grab and read at the hairdresser's or while I'm waiting for a stoplight. But get yourself one really good book and start reading. Sir William Osler, a great surgeon, wrote this: the failure to cultivate the power of peaceful concentration is the greatest single cause of mental breakdown. I couldn't help really thinking about that one. I hear so many stories of people whose minds have been blown, or they're having to have therapy for this reason or that reason. What is the greatest single cause of mental breakdown? Here's a great physician giving the answer 70 years ago: the failure to cultivate the power of peaceful concentration. If that was true 70 years ago, must be even more so now. It's useless to try to empty your mind, to think about nothing. The scripture says, set your mind on Christ. Don't try to think about nothing, but set your mind on Christ. Open your heart to Him. Listen. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. He did not say, take no thought for anything. He was just telling them what not to think about. He had already told them what to think about. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To me, one of the most severe disciplines is the discipline of the mind. When people ask me if writing is hard work, I say, yes, it's hard work. And the hardest part of it is the thinking that has to precede the actual writing. Thinking is hard work. There's only one kind of work harder than that I know of, and that's prayer, which of course involves thinking as well. But we are not to think about the past and about the future. They are God's business. If you will leave them with God, you will be disciplining your mind in one of the ways in which we are commanded to do so. Do not think about tomorrow. And I'm sure that Jesus meant in an anxious way, in such a way as to destroy your peace of mind. He didn't mean don't buy the ticket for the airplane this week if you're going next week, and He certainly didn't mean don't sit down and plan the menus for tomorrow if you're going to the grocery store this afternoon. We need to plan, but we do not need to be worried. So those are things which cannot fit into a peaceful mind. A transformed mind leads to a transformed vision of reality. Now, the world's definition of real loses power and clarity as we focus on the things which are invisible. There's an old chorus that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The things of this world, which the world thinks are so real and so important, somehow they lose focus, lose power and clarity. When we move into the kingdom of God, we think about heaven and holiness and saints, we're getting much closer to what God created us to be. Have you ever noticed that it's usually the bad characters in novels that are the most believable. The good characters are not nearly as believable. Well, Satan is the best drawn of Milton's characters in Paradise Lost, C.S. Lewis says, and C.S. Lewis was a brilliant critic of literature. He gives this explanation. Heaven understands hell, and hell does not understand heaven. To project ourselves into a wicked character, we have only to stop doing something, and something which we are already tired of doing. To project ourselves into a good one, we have to do what we cannot, and become what we are not. Christ is calling us to do what we cannot, and to be what we are not. To do His will, and to be holy. To put our minds on Him. Remember, when Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on water. The minute he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. The only way that we can be disciplined by God in body, mind, or spirit is to ask for His help. The discipline of the mind begins with focusing our minds on Him, then thinking our way to a sober estimate of our own capabilities, and then my third suggestion, and this is only a suggestion, this is not a command of Scripture, read good books, books which will help to shape your thinking and clarify your mind.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.